You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Last week, I mentioned, you might remember, on behalf of Jamie Wilczek. Do you remember Jamie Wilczek, who is running the RULE, R-U-L-E? Oh, don't look at me like that. We got Ivan to look up what RULE was. It was a prostate cancer fund or a charity.
Jamie who?
Oh, my God.
Well, I told you I got CTE. I played Jamie a little Wilczek, bit of football. I got into PACS. Who's Jane?
She is a person in her own right, but she was married to Ross Stevenson.
Oh, yes, now I do.
Well, she was...
Jamie, I thought Jamie was a male. I'm thinking of a male.
Yes, she said that last week, and we covered that off last week. She's a woman.
Okay.
She was most amused at last week because I gave a shout-out to... We read out what RULE was. And I read out a function that was going on, and it happened to be last year's function because we read out the wrong information. So I said,
"Well done."
I said, "I'll back over this again for her because the function is
when."
I'm about to tell you. Did you say when?
Yeah.
Isn't there? No one knows that we're sitting next to one another.
Why not? We've got a camera, haven't we?
It's not going to be.
The only reason I'm sitting here is to help you with the control panel.
So Jamie Wilczek said this. Now there's a function going on Thursday, the 27th of July. When do you reckon that is?
This Thursday.
That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. So this is why we're backing over today.
4 days before Ian Cook goes to court on the 31st of July.
The function is from 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. and it's at the Railway Hotel in Brunswick. And there's a whole crew of panelists there. I was asked to go on the panel, but I'm not available.
What's the panel in? What's it? What are they on about?
It's a sports panel about very interesting things, and it's about this is. She said this is what she said. It's the prostate cancer is the number one diagnosed. You and I have had it.
Has Jamie
had prostate cancer? I don't think Jamie's had it. I don't think she has.
Okay.
I can't speak. I can only speak.
Well, maybe find out.
Prostate cancer, number one diagnosed men's cancer, and August is the National Legends Month. It's the National Legends Month. Visit your local pub and any Thirsty Camel bottle shop to purchase a RULE bucket to help support the prostate cancer. Now I know
a
this
bucket.
A bucket hat.
Oh, but we'll yeah. Say a bucket.
Because it's cut off. It cut off on the thing. It's been chopped off.
Yeah, Mick Christian was pushing those bucket hats, wasn't he?
He was. We've got You Cannot Be Serious bucket hats.
Oh, have we?
And Mick was going down to create a whole new little cottage industry down in Tasmania, but he found Tasmania wasn't big enough for him, and he's coming back with the idea.
Yeah, but get back to Jamie. So
Jamie Wilczek. Asked me to mention it again because we mentioned it last week.
But you fucked it up.
We mentioned it last week.
They're not working. Bars. No, we're on. We're all right. We're on.
And so she, I'll tell you why they're not working. Guess a look. We got you on. Yeah, we got you on too. Jesus.
Don't blaspheme.
I'm not on.
Come on, hurry.
I'm not on.
Yes, you are.
I'm not. This is. Look at that.
I'm not on. I wasn't on mic. Fuck me.
No, we're going to
start
this.
No, we're starting this again.
No, we're not. Keep going with Jamie Wilczek at what is the Railway Hotel in Brunswick tomorrow, Thursday.
Don. I didn't have my mic on.
That's all right. You would have picked it up. Come on, hurry up.
I don't know if I know this. Fuck me, dude.
Don't spit that dough. Jeez, you're a fucking temperamental bastard.
No, that's you're on. You're on two.
Okay.
And well, I'm on one. I didn't.
Don't spit the dummy. Just keep going. Jeez, you're a temperamental bastard.
What, that I'm not on mic?
Oh, God. God.
That I wasn't on mic. Now,
there's a story that's upset
me. So, Jamie Woolcheck, Thursday, the 27th July, the Railway Hotel Rule. It's the Legends Day. It's a great lunchtime gathering. Go along, please. Or else I don't want to.
We should have done it properly last week.
Shout out to give me another heavy shout out today. And now, good on you, Jamie. Well done.
Now, listen,
Jamie.
There's one thing that has upset me. A sailor. An Australian sailor was sailing from Mexico to Australia in his catamaran.
Yeah.
And for some reason he had a breakdown. I don't know. Anyway, he was...
He had a breakdown?
In the boat. The boat had a breakdown. So he was just floating aimlessly wherever the currents took him. And he was picked up by a tuna boat. And who was accompanying him was a dog.
Was what?
A dog. He had a dog with him that he picked up in Mexico. Befriended him.
That was his first mate.
It was. Mm-hmm. Now, he gets back to Australia or picked up by the boat. Do you know he surrendered that dog? He will not bring it back to Australia.
Well, it would probably be a good reason that he has to quarantine it.
Okay.
Might bring rabies or distemper.
Horses and other animals
and
come
into
Australia.
And they've got to be quarantined.
Yes. Well, you quarantine the dog and make sure it's all right.
What would he quarantine a stray dog for?
Well, hang on. This dog has kept him company while he was floating aimlessly around.
The dog's lucky he didn't eat it.
Well,
he could have. The dog is very lucky it survived without being eaten.
Anyway, I think it's a very callous act.
Oh,
I would have put that dog. I would have, if it went into quarantine for 6 months. I don't care. I would have looked after that dog instead of giving it away. He's given it away another fisherman has taken it, the man on the tuna boat, and it's going back to Mexico.
Have a guess who's wandered in.
Very, very late.
Very late. Come on,
I'd
Phoebe.
I'd like to ask her about the Logies because I've got a nomination for the Logies.
Come over here, Phoebe. I wasn't on mic because we've moved the microphones around because we're doing a bit of filming, trying to work out. And I was off. I know, it's pathetic, isn't it? What number is that microphone?
I'm on number 3.
No, you've got to come around here, Fee.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't have to go around there.
Well,
so
she's not on camera.
I'm not. People want to see you two, not me.
Oh. No, it's we've got camera people organised. Go, Phoebe, go on, Don. What did you want to ask her?
A couple of things.
I was hauled over the coals by not accepting an invitation Saturday night. Why didn't you front to the beef? Between Friends, number one.
Between
Friends, or whatever it's called. Mm. Because John and Sue had a marvellous night, and you could have joined the festivities.
And so could you, I told you. Why didn't you go?
As I said to Sam, I just lost my nerve. I decided that I did not want to go to spend my Saturday evening
with an alternative lifestyle.
This is bullshit, Phoebe. You didn't have to take your gear off. No one had to take their gear off.
Well,
you said you did,
you and Sue.
I did not say that, Don.
You said something about lingerie.
No, you had a very pleasant evening as far as I'm aware.
That's correct. You
went to a bar and the option was to, if people would like to... progress upstairs.
Get into the spirit.
To do more personal things with each other. They could, but you decided to stay downstairs.
We want to know why.
A lot of people were downstairs. There was 100 people downstairs all chatting, and then eventually, I presume, we didn't stay there long enough. Eventually, I presume, they all drifted into their various rooms and struck up a relationship, and if you didn't want to, you stayed downstairs.
I commend you both for being adventurers because I lost my adventurous spirit.
But it was just like going to a bar anywhere in the city. You didn't have to do anything if you didn't want to. The only thing that was a bit interesting was that they said if you went upstairs, you had to get your gear off. That was the prerequisite for going upstairs. And if you're not allowed to drink upstairs, so if you wanted a drink, you had to come downstairs. And they said plenty of people just wandered down after they've been, having a root. People would come downstairs and in the nude and just go to the bar and just have a drink and then just wander back up.
I missed obviously the first episode that you've recorded this morning, but did you tell people about what was upstairs?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I hear it was extraordinary.
Stirrups and whipping stations. And if you wanted to, that the Matt and the mistress don't encourage this, but they have the facility there if couples want to get in and belt the living suitcase out of one another in the name of revelry and merriment. And they, as I say, we had all the salves and liniments and lubes and condos and fucking, ooh, it was huge up there, condoms.
Now, we've got the Logies coming up.
Yes, Don.
How do I nominate a program?
I'm moving right on.
A program. I've got a program that never gets any mentions, and it's show on television. You ready?
I'm ready.
Landline.
Okay.
12 o'clock, ABC, I think it's 12 or 1.
Don.
Every Sunday, and it does get replayed.
How many people would watch it, dear?
It is the best show. It's not political it's not political. No, it's not. Very informative of what is actually going on in Australia.
As I understand it, Phoebe, the Logies are given to personalities. Would there be any personalities on Landline that would deserve a Logie?
Pip Courtney, she's the host.
Well, Don, look, I think next year this could be a great campaign for you to mount.
Get Pip Courtney a Logie.
She's
been doing the show since Adam was a boy.
I would like you to do that because I think it would be very interesting to see the traction that you get. Not in any way am I having a crack at Pip or Pip. Landline.
Pippa.
Pip. But unfortunately, Landline has not managed to get a nomination for this year's Logie Awards.
So what's nominated?
Well, many different shows.
Like what?
Well, there's lots of different categories. So you've got a popularity. So there's two different streams of awards. There is the popular stream, and then there's the most outstanding stream. The most outstanding, that is actually nominated and judged by people within the TV industry. So we'll sort of put that to one side. Probably the awards that most people are familiar with are the popular awards. So that's the Gold Logie, most popular presenter, you know, most popular actor, most popular actress, are you doing, Sam?
No, I'm sorry, I'm just working to the camera.
Oh,
there.
My God.
Now, go ahead, Phoebe. Who's nominated?
Well, I'll give you just quickly the Gold Logie nominees. Lee Sales.
From the ABC.
Yes.
She's off now.
She's hosting.
She used to do 7:30 report.
Lee Sales.
She presents. Yes, Lee Sales. She presents.
L-E-I-G-H.
Lee Sales. She's presenting Australian Story at the moment for the ABC. Julia Morris from Channel 10. She's the host of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Well, I don't watch any of these popular
Hamish Blake,
shows.
You know who Hamish Blake is.
Yes, but what show's he on? I don't even watch the commercial.
Lego Masters.
Who?
Lego Masters.
What?
Don.
There's a show called Lego. They muck around with Lego.
Yes.
A kid show?
Osher Gunsberg.
Who?
He hosts The Bachelor and The Masked Singer.
The what singer?
The Masked Singer.
I gave a friend of mine a box of Legos for Christmas. One day, and when she got home, she opened the Legos and constructed the Eiffel Tower out of the Legos.
Okay,
Sean McAuliffe.
He's the ABC. He does a
Mad as Hell.
Oh yeah, I don't watch that. Yeah, go on.
Sonia Kruger.
What does she do?
She hosts a lot of shows on Channel 7: The Voice, Dancing with the Stars, Big Brother. There's one more who I've forgotten.
Oh, don't worry.
So I apologise.
I mentioned four people I've never heard of so far.
The other thing talking I've heard about of, television, you can see I look at a bit of the ABC. Why is there a different dress standard to the ABC? They're the most untidiest presenters, open neck shirts and whatever, and scruffiness. Their news reporters leave a lot to be desired. Yet you look at a commercial station, they've all got their collar and tie very presentable. Why is that?
Well, Don,
the ABC's a mess.
I think you should. I think you should write a letter. This is what you're lacking in your life. You need to become a letter writer.
Write
a letter to Arta.
Well, she put a half-hearted apology in about putting Stan Grant on with regard to the coronation. It was very political, that apology.
Sam, can I change the subject? You would have been to the Logies a few times in your career.
Did you win a Logie?
Career?
Johnny?
Did the show win a Logie? Yes, it would.
Yep. Yes, I've been to the Logies, yep.
Your thoughts?
Thoughts?
Yes.
Well,
did you enjoy it?
Not really, but that, you know, if we could keep people out of the bathrooms and the toilets from doing coke and taking drugs.
Really?
Gosh, we're knee-deep in it there. It's like a crop duster has been over the whole building. People just wandering in and out of the... But that's common knowledge. I'm not portraying any confidences there. That happens every year, doesn't it, Phoebe?
Talking about television, did you watch that show, the John Farnham documentary?
Yes, I did, and I loved it.
Wasn't it fantastic?
It was fantastic. Absolutely great TV. You should watch it, Sam. You would enjoy it.
It was. Right. The way they got... I thought there was a fascinating story about The Voice, how the composer didn't want John Farnham and only knew him for singing Sadie the Cleaning Lady. Yeah. And what they added to it obviously wasn't sung, or the way Farnham presented it at the end wasn't the way the fellow originally thought it had come out, by adding clapping and the bagpipes and whatever else added to the song. And I just thought the backstory was sensational.
Absolutely. And also,
The interaction between the Little River Band. I didn't realise there was a lot of angst amongst those people.
Well, yes, angst, but also it was great to see the arc of John's career, because it really did make you aware that, you know, there was a period in his performance career coming into the 80s where he just was not anything anymore. He was... nothing was really working, and that was when he connected with Glenn Wheatley, and eventually it all came.
Glenn Wheatley had a big job in promoting that. We got that too, taking the record, the LP, what was it, Whispering Jack, around to the radio, and one lady picked it up, others dismissed it, and out of it came The Voice, and it's been picked, well, as you saw, internationally, unbelievable.
Did you watch the Shane Warne film?
Which one?
Oh,
the drama series or the film on Warney?
The film.
I did. I went to the
theatre. Was it any good?
It was good? Yes. That's the documentary that was done, and Shane was very heavily involved in it. He appeared in that. That was done before he passed away.
No, I'm talking about the film. Didn't that...
Which one? No, you're talking about the Channel 9 drama.
I don't know. Didn't the bloke play Shane Warne?
Okay, you're talking about the drama. Yes, I watched that as well, the two-part drama series that Channel 9 put to air a couple of...
Is that any good in your opinion or not?
Look, Alex Williams, who played Shane in that, has got quite a bit of criticism, but I actually think
What?
Well, you know, for not doing the role particularly well, but I actually think he did get a lot of Shane's mannerisms and...
Do you think it was a little crass?
Works really well. What I do think is it was too early to do...
That's what I was just going to say.
To do a drama crass like that.
Yeah, I thought it was a little crass and no respect with regard to the family. The timing...
The family was consulted. Initially they weren't, and they were very upset about that, and then Channel 9... quite sensibly, and they should have done it before they actually went into production, reached out and made sure that the children and Shane's father in particular was aware of what was in the script and were able to have, not input, but sort of put forward their, if they had concerns about certain things, be able to sort of put those concerns forward. So they were supportive at the end of the day with the production going ahead. But in my mind, it was just too early. I think people who loved Shane, and that is pretty much the entire Australian population, you know, it just was too close to us losing him. It was too difficult to step away from what we knew as the real person to seeing his life portrayed in a very small way. Mm. On TV.
Well, what else, Don, you got in these riveting subjects? Don came out with an extraordinarily perceptive statement. He said that I was wearing black with a red T-shirt. Sue was wearing black.
Wearing black.
Yes, black. Yeah, Don said that, gee, isn't it amazing that
a lot of
people are wearing...
And
he said...
The rest of it.
And I mean black.
Isn't it amazing a lot of people are wearing black? Don was staggered by that.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, it's just an incredible insight into what goes on in the back of your cranium.
It wouldn't be in Queensland. They'd be wearing black. They'd be wearing colours.
Don, it's a different climate. It's...
What is black? But we are drab.
Because it absorbs heat.
There's no imagination.
It absorbs the heat, black colours.
I like the fact that I mean... Are you dressed? You're wearing a beret
in black
today.
Too, but I've dressed it up with a bit of yellow.
You look like a big lemon. You're completely yellow.
Well, you look like a redback spider, but anyway, that's another issue.
Yeah, that was Don's main topic. He brought that people are wearing black. But I had a bit of splash of red and someone had a splash of colour.
Have you people been into Bunnings?
Holy
mackerel. Yes.
Do you think that is a monopoly and it should go before the government? God. Because how many times
have we discussed this topic? Something wrong with you.
Well,
you
said Bunnings is a monopoly. I've got CTE.
Oh, you said have Bunnings is a monopoly before? And I said, no, it's not.
Which bit haven't you mentioned before, Don?
I don't know. I've got CTE. Okay. I've played a little bit of football in my time. And I forget what I've said, Fiona. Now, did I mention Bunnings before?
You did. And you said it's a monopoly. And I said, no, it's not. And you said, name another hardware store. And I named three of them. So go on. What about Bunnings?
No. Well, I've mentioned it. You've got to pull me up.
I've just pulled
you
up.
I've got a case to go to the AFL?
Mate, you've got a case to go to it bigger than the AFL.
Is it a seniors
You're
moment?
Retarded.
No, is it a seniors moment? Because you do suffer from seniors problems as well.
What would
you
they
tell
be?
Me things
what would the, what
three
would
or four times?
I tell you things three or four times because you forget the things I tell you.
No.
Go on, what's your other topic? You said you've got 100 topics. I've let this go, this segment. We've done 21 minutes and so far you've spoken shit. Go on. Come on. This is what happens. You said, I've got so many topics, I want you to read them out. Go on.
I went to a funeral yesterday and I was sitting there reflecting and they were telling the story of this chap who was, I won't mention his name, but he was in his 90s.
Why won't you mention his name?
No, I won't. Because some people don't like their name being mentioned on this podcast.
He's dead, isn't he?
Doesn't matter.
It is, you can't.
I've got respect for the family. Anyway, they were talking and I thought, how soft is our society nowadays? Now, this man grew up, I'll tell you where, Wonthaggi. At 16, he won a scholarship to go to Footscray Institute of Technology. At 16, he'd never been to Melbourne before. So he's come all the way from Wonthaggi to Melbourne. They didn't have much money, so he couldn't afford to catch the train home when they did. This is back in the early 50s, right? Just after the Second World War. Once a month, he'd ride his bike from Footscray, where he's boarding, to Wonthaggi. Now, how long would that take him to ride his bike? And then I started to think about how soft we are in society. My father told me he used to ride his bike to school. He lived at Rutherglen. Would ride his bike down to a place called Springhurst, which is on the Hume Highway, then catch the bus to Wangaratta Tech. Now, that's about 40-odd k's, if not more, I don't know. That would take nearly 2 hours.
He said one day to
And you go to school. We are soft. Can you imagine going to school now, taking you 2 hours to get to school and 2 hours back? And that fellow riding his bike.
He said to a bloke, what's the fastest way to get to Wonthaggi? And the guy said, are you riding or driving a car? He said, I'm driving a car. He said, well, that's the quickest way. Now, Don, have you read a book called A Fortunate Life? A Fortunate Life by A.B. Facey. If you want to see, and I'll guarantee that in the last page or the second last page, if it doesn't bring a tear to your eye, you're not human.
It brought a tear to your eye.
It's a standard book in schools, isn't it? Is it a standard book?
I don't know if it still is. I don't know if it still is,
well,
but it was when I was.
While we're just rejigging the woke society we live in, that should never be taken off the compulsory list in schools. A.B. Facey.
Tell me about it.
Because it was a man, a bit what you're saying, a man who was brought up under extremely harsh conditions and he couldn't believe the fact that he loved life, even though he was beaten and tortured and he was almost a slave and he ended up marrying someone. And if you get to the last page...
Is it a factual book?
It's absolutely factual. Mm. His family finished it off. He wrote all these notes down. And if you get to the last page, I'll guarantee, Don, that you will get to the last page and you'll have a tear roll down your eye.
Where's the man from?
Oh,
well, he was an Australian, English,
yes,
American.
Yes, I know he's an Australian. He's an Australian. He might have come out. I don't know if he came out from.
I can't give you the intricate details, Don. But it's very worth reading.
But you haven't read it, Fiona.
I have. I've got it at home in my bookshelf.
So
I have read it.
A Fortunate Life. It's called.
You suffer from CTU. Can't you remember it, Fiona?
Oh, Don.
Randy, what else, Don? You've got your Bunnings, which we've done. Yep, Bunnings. Mm. You
Jane
think they're
Crawford,
a monopoly?
I had an interesting conversation with our little friend number nine at Hawthorne.
That would be an oxymoron.
He was driving.
How is he?
He was good. He's driving. He doesn't return phone calls, Shane. But he was bored. He was driving up to, where is he lived now? Kingscliff, which is on the New South Wales-Queensland border.
Yeah.
And so he decided he'd answer my call. So we had a talk about football.
Yeah.
And he came up with a good idea.
What was it, Don? Make this interesting.
We were talking about the way football has gone off, and his suggestion is, in that 50-metre arc that they now have, to make the game more interesting,
yes,
they should have three permanent. So that's six players, three forwards in that 50-metre arc.
Yes.
And three.
They're not allowed to move out of
the
arc.
They're not allowed to move out of that at both sides, at both ends.
Oh.
And so he believes that would encourage longer kicking, quicker kicking into the forward line. And the way they play the game now, having been to a couple, they play it in a quarter of the ground. Everybody is in a quarter of the ground nowadays. It's a shocking mess. So I thought that was something interesting that should be considered. They've got that 50-metre arc. They could put six players in there, both sides, so that's 12 on each team, 12 in total.
Mm.
So you'd have a third of the team.
So you and Shane discussed this, did you?
And I think that's something that should be considered.
So how did that come about? You rang him up?
No,
said,
well,
how
you
are
don't
you?
Ever think it because you don't go. You just sit there in your dodginess.
Where?
You don't go and have a look. You criticise the football, but you don't go along.
No, I don't go along because I've criticised the football because it's just not played
properly.
Well,
we're trying to make it a little better.
So you rang Shane up and you said...
No. We had to talk about horses and whatever else and
so
what he's been doing. And so...
You were pestering him because you were bored. And you thought, oh, I'll tell you, I'll ring Shane up and bust his chops about something. And he was probably trying to get off the phone. He said, oh, tell me, Shane,
how
you...
He was bored. He was driving from Finlay to Kingscliff through Wagga. He was very bored. So... We had an interesting conversation.
Okay, right. Too. And what else you got on that list there, Don? Because
no, I think that should be considered. It's
okay.
A great football
topic.
So
12 people in the 50-metre arc. 12 people in
We're
the 50...
We're trying to improve the game of football, Johnny.
Right. How about the coaches have a different paradigm about the way the game's played? That might be
the
better.
The coaches do ruin the game.
Yes, if someone became proactive and said, we won't follow the ball around and we won't chip it backwards, what we'll do is when we get it, we'll drive it down to some designated forwards and see if they can get the ball like forwards did in yesteryear, Don.
Have you been watching the cricket at all?
No. Tell us about it, Don.
There's something lacking in the Australian team.
Right, what is
it? Well, I can't discuss it with you because you don't watch
it. We'll discuss it with Phoebe.
No, she's not watching it
either. We'll discuss it with the people listening.
No, because I'd like interaction.
All right, I'll give you interaction. You tell me what you're discussing and I'll give you my...
There's something lacking in the Australian team, whether it's hardness...
Talent?
No, I think they've got the talent. I just don't think they've got the edge. There's something missing. Either they're too nice...
Too nice.
Yes, you can be very nice, have a lot of ability.
Didn't someone run someone out by when they're out of their crease and that's not being nice?
No, that's part of the game. We learned that. There's nothing wrong with
that. So you think they should abuse the opposition or what?
I don't know. I wonder whether they've just got a hard edge.
They're
lacking a hard edge.
How do you have a hard edge of cricket?
Well,
you sledge people, do you?
Maybe it's influenced by the leaders. Being coaches and the leaders of the team, the captain, and
is that the
else.
Boy that said he wouldn't wouldn't be sponsored by Alinta Gas?
Oh yes,
because
I
he drives a drives an electric car. What was that man's name?
Was it Pat Cummings?
Is he the captain?
Captain? Yes.
Yeah. What a slobbering suck up.
Come on.
He
please.
Said he wouldn't cop money from a fossil fueled organisation because he'd suddenly found enlightenment in driving an electric vehicle. Fair dinkum, seriously. Puts everyone at jeopardy puts the financial well-being of the club or whatever it is, because he slags the people who were sponsoring it. Didn't he do that? Or is that not what he did?
I think you're right.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I just forget. I met also through the week
getting around a little bit. Another man put out of business because of COVID, his business.
Yes, who was it?
Well, he used to give or used to supply.
How are we going here, Phoebe? This is Don's Topics. Yeah, go who?
No, I just think there should be some compensation for what happened over COVID.
For what
the number of businesses.
What Dan Andrews' government did, yeah.
Yes.
Who dishonestly portrayed
another
the ridiculous...
Another business went out because of the COVID lockdown.
Yeah, a lot of businesses
and
are gone.
And did you see that the state government gave those people in the high-rise towers in Flemington
yep.
$5 million compensation?
Yep.
They each got about $2,000 each.
Mm, because
compensation? Why? Because they're voters for the Labor Party? Why? What? For lockdown, you get $2,000.
Yeah. No,
in total,
$5 million. Dishonest. I don't use any of those particular words.
And
Don,
Dan Andrews, talking about the ABC, what about his mode of dress? Have you ever looked at him lately? He gets around in a bloody polo, what do you call that polo fleece stuff? You know, that fluffy stuff with a zip down the front of the jacket. Why wouldn't he wear a collar and tie?
Bomber jacket.
And it's not a bomber jacket. It's one of those things you wear with your tracksuit. And he wears that around with an open-neck business shirt. He looks like some scruff.
Yeah.
Now, he's the premier of the state. Why hasn't he got a suit and a collar and tie on?
It's a good question, Don. Did you know that they ran the train through the tunnel the other day?
And he got up and interviewed, and they questioned him about the overspending. And he said, oh, well, you know, he brushed the overspending off. They haven't got microphone. What did he say? You haven't got spy glasses or something to keep up with the costs. So he just...
Spyglasses.
He's a great deflector, isn't he, of problems, Dan Andrews?
Teflon Dan.
What do you mean Teflon? Teflon's the stuff you cook. What do you call Teflon for?
Fuck.
Come on.
Teflon, nothing sticks to the pan.
Oh.
Nothing sticks. Oh. Teflon Dan. Haven't you heard that?
No, I don't use Teflon. I don't. Well, how would I know what it is?
I've just got
a normal frying pan.
Oh,
I put oil in when I cook, so it doesn't stick to the pan.
Oh man, that's they're called Teflon because stuff doesn't stick to it. That's why they call people Teflon.
Well, that's
people.
Why I asked you what a Teflon was.
Well, you know what Teflon
does. No, I don't. Otherwise, I'd answer
you. You just said nothing sticks to it, and I said that's why they call him it. Oh, this is seriously, Don. Honestly, mate, I'm looking
for support from our cameraman.
I try
or camera
and,
woman.
I try and cut you some slack, Don. But we give us one final topic before we wrap this up, and then we're coming back with chicken. The chicken, remember Chicken Smallhorn? Remember Chicken Smallhorn?
Yeah, he played for Fitzroy.
What a name, Chicken Smallhorn. You just think about that, Don.
No, he played on the wing.
I don't give a fuck where he played. His name was Chicken Smallhorn. He's a very good player. Chicken Smallhorn.
What about Chicken Man? He used to appear on the radio. Do you remember him? Chicken Man.
Don, one final subject and then that's it. You've seen Phoebe off. She saw, I'm sitting here amongst imbeciles.
Where has she gone?
She's over there pretending not to listen.
She's right.
Go on,
story.
Quickly. This is it. Any final shout-outs?
No, I've got a
minute. What about Kate Save? Did we do her? Did we mention...
Did you what? Mention her,
did
you
we
mean?
Mention her, did we? Kate Save has got... Now, I've got to read this out. Don, where is it? Come on, mate. I've lost it. Where is it, Kate Save? Please, help me out. Come on. Where is she? She's got the crowd funding going.
I know.
And a man contributed $100,000 to her business, Be Fit Food. And we are going to be a contributor, Don. We are going to invest in Kate Save's Be Fit Food because she's trying to fund the business. She's trying to fund the business because... I can't work out why she's trying to... I'm disoriented, Don. Tell me about Kate Save. Do something about Kate.
Well, it's called crowdfunding, and
what? And the man contributed, didn't he? $100,000, didn't he?
Because,
come on, quickly. This is going nowhere. This quickly. Kate Save. What did she do? Don and Kate. Here we go.
No, John.
Here we go. Thank you, Senator. I just had one of your listeners call me and tell me that he's investing a very large sum into BeFit Foods. His motive is because he and his wife have done the program and lost tons of weight, and they love the food. Plus, he's got two kids in their 20s, and he wants to see young, hardworking Aussies succeed. That's Kate. I'm over the moon of $100,000 invested from George, who owns a truck company called Koshin. Transport, Koshin. What a lovely, true blue, hardworking Aussie. He said we can mention his name. I'm glad that I read that out. How'd you be? He said, oh, he wants to be anonymous. No, I've read his name out. He said we can mention the amount and he wants, but he doesn't want us to mention his name. Oh, well, his name wasn't George, it was Frank. He's saying he wants Aussies rather than, he's investing in Aussie companies, saying he doesn't want to invest in overseas companies because he's pulling out of overseas markets and the shares aren't as good, but he wants to invest in good dinky-die Aussies one of them. And so isn't that good, Don? And then we're trying to
There's another young fellow, and I'm all for young people having a go. And Kate Save certainly doing it. And the other one who's playing league football at the moment, and he got a bit of a rap and a promotion last night on the news, is Dylan Scheel, who plays for Essendon. And he's going into the manufacturing and marketing of his own running shoe. Dylan Scheel.
Dylan is going to market running shoes. Well, lots of luck. Is he up against Nike?
His own running shoe.
He's up against Nike and Adidas.
All of those. Wow. But at least he's having a go. Not enough young people are having a go at the moment.
What are the shoes called?
I don't know.
Dylan Shoes.
We ought to tell Dylan to come in and he can spruik his shoes.
And bring some in and we can wear them.
I don't know whether I'd wear them, but...
don't you? Why not?
Actually, we should get him in and ask him about the business.
Should we? And he could sponsor us.
Do you think so?
I don't know, Don. Dylan Shoes.
Anyway, the thing is, he's a young person.
Has he got a manufacturing business?
Just like Kate says.
Has he designed them? Has he got a manufacturing business?
Well, I don't think anybody
designs them. Who makes them?
You can design them here, but they'd be manufactured overseas. Everything
in the sweatshops, like Nike?
Yeah, probably. And everything is manufactured overseas. But
in the sweatshops.
Kate Save's food is not manufactured overseas. It's made here. It's very nutritious.
Prepared.
And I've lost a little bit too much
weight. You've
lost
your brain.
No, I've lost a bit too much weight being on her food. I've had to stop it.
Depleted the brain cells.
I'm back to what I was when I was a kid, when I was doing...
when you were in diapers.
When I was
17. And dribbling.
17.
Like you're doing now.
17. 13 stone.
86
kilos.
Okay, anyway, yeah, that's you're anorexic. All right, well, Don, that's it. Well done. That's topics today. I'm going to review this. Black, everyone's wearing black. Bunnings, are they Monopoly? Someone's created some running shoes. It's good. It's going well. And the Logies, and you reckon Landline should be up for an award, do
and
you,
Don? Pip Courtney is the presenter.
Yeah, Pip. Well, good on you, Pip. Well done. I think that's it, Don. This is... And coming up after this is Warwick.
Who?
The Whiz. Who? The Whiz and the Chicken. The Whiz and the Chicken. Remember, they had 60th birthday parties apart and they had a blue. We're about to interview them.
Do they play the game?
What?
Will they play the game?